B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:49 across the Delaware Valley on a Friday. And as you know, we've been doing our playback, and today we played back Game 7, Flyers and Bruins. My God. Yo, I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I mean, it was amazing. What a game. That was one of the greatest games in the history of Philadelphia sports. The most amazing comeback ever. Down 3-0 in the series. Down 3-0 in the game. In Game 7, that Friday night, fateful Friday night, losing 3-0 in the first period, only to have a big goal by JVR. And they got all the way back in the game-tying goal by our next guest on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, the man who tied the game at 3 apiece, the great Danny Briere. Danny!
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man? First of all, how you dealing with the virus? How's the family? And what have you been up to?
Yeah, like everybody else, working from home. You know, it's it gets a little lonely, I'm sure, for like everybody else. But trying to get a lot done. You know, it's just being stuck in the house sometimes gets a little long.
Yeah, I know. How are the kids? I mean, are you doing the homeschool thing? What's going on?
Kids are doing online schooling. You know, it seems to be the trend these days. So they're falling in line with that as well, and following the guidelines, trying to get their schooling done. So not easy for anybody. But you try to make it work.
My wife's about to pull her hair out at my little one, man. It's a tough deal, you know. There's a reason why they're great teachers in the world. You know what I'm saying?
We're not one of them. That's right, exactly. Yeah, we're not trying to steal their job either.
So, without sports, we've been playing back these games every day. We do a different Philadelphia sporting event every day, and today was that great game, that incredible comeback. Take us into mindset. First, the series, because, you know, we go into it, you know, the whole thing, get in on the last day with the shootout, and now here it is. It's 3-0 with Game 4 at home. What's the mindset of the group?
Well, the first round was New Jersey.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody gave us a chance against New Jersey because they were the number two seed. Like you mentioned, we made the playoffs on the last regular season day. So for us to get past the first round, all of a sudden we start realizing, oh, maybe there's something here. And then we start the second round against Boston, and we go down 3-0 right off the get-go. But it was the weirdest feeling. When we were down 3-0, I still remember we had a meeting in a dressing room, and we could not understand how we were down 3-0. The way we were playing, we deserved much better. You know, everybody was thinking we should be up 2-1, or at the worst case scenario, it might be 2-1 for them. We felt we were still in this series, and I know it sounds weird, and I've been in many positions where we were down 3-0, and you just know that the end is near. You'll try to save face next game, but the chance of coming back are pretty slim. In this case, it was totally, totally different. Boston had just lost David Krejci in game number 3 as well, which was one of their most potent offensive guys. And all of a sudden, we said, if we can just win one, we win game 4, anything can open up after that. And then, you know, fast forward to game 7, we were so excited to be there. And the game starts, and we're down 3-0 again right off the get-go. And I remember, I mean, I was losing my mind on the bench. I couldn't believe all the work we had put into it to come up to this point and be down 3-0 in the first, I don't know, 12 or 13 minutes of the game. I was so mad. I was seeing red on the bench. But everybody, you know, probably remembers Lavi's timeout. And, you know, he kept telling us, just one goal, guys. We just need one goal before the end of the period. And at the time, I didn't realize how big that one goal would be. We came back in the dressing room after the first period, and we're all sitting around kind of, you know, quietly all mad at ourselves for letting that happen. But now that I can take a step back and I realize what it must have been or felt like in their dressing room, because they were up 3-0 in the series. Now it was 3-3. They were up 3-0 in this game, and they could feel us coming. It was 3-1, and the next goal would be critical. You know, but at the time, I didn't realize that I wasn't able to put myself in their skates. But looking back, I think that goal was huge, and they came back in the second period, and it's like they didn't know how to play hockey anymore. They were afraid to make plays. Nobody wanted to puck on their side. They were tight.
Yeah. Davey, it's amazing. Yeah. You're so right about that. And it's interesting because the number three, you're so right. The number three was so important because, look, if they score up 4-0, it's tough, right? But the fact that you guys were able to get the JVR was able to get that goal to make it 3-1, you're right on, man. They were able. They were tight. Oh, my God. And then it was 3-2. Before you score, you must have really felt it.
Oh, yeah. At 3-2, we had everybody. I watched a game was it last week. I was playing on TV as well. And you could tell. Everybody was feeling. We were creating scoring chances after scoring chances. We had the puck the whole period. And at that third goal, we knew it was over at the time. We came back after the second period. And it was a totally different atmosphere in our dressing room. We knew we had them. We were so confident. And, you know, it's a fine line. You don't want to get overconfident.
Yeah.
But in that case, we knew where they were mentally. We knew where we were mentally. And there was no stopping us.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, it's interesting because you have the goal that's wiped out. We think you score. We think we score. It's up 4. And we're going to take a 4-3 lead. And then they go to video, no goal.
Yeah. And it didn't even matter to us. And honestly, until I watched the game last week, I had completely forgotten about that goal. To us, it wasn't a big deal. It was just a matter of time. You want to delay this process? Fine. Let's go ahead. Let's score another one. I think at the time, that's the mindset that everybody had. It didn't matter. I saw the replay, and we can't see the puck cross the line, and that's why they had to make that call. But everybody knows the goalie's leg is fully in the net, so there's no doubt that the puck is in the net.
Yes.
But I was proud of how the guys reacted. It didn't matter. That wasn't going to be the turning point, for this series. And we were able to get a big goal from Simon Gagné later in the third period.
It was amazing. I think back to, you lose the first two games at home. The first game won in overtime, 5-4. You lose game 2-3-2. It was a tight one. And then, you know, game 4, like you said, just win one. You win it in overtime. You go up there and you bury them 4-0. And then game 6 was wild at home. Everyone was going, oh, my God, we got a chance in this thing. Because you guys were the most resilient group. What do you attest that? Was that just something that happened? When you look back on it now, what do you think about that
team? Yeah, the swagger that we had that year, how close we were as a team, you don't get to have that very often. guys hanging out together as much as we did. And we had that swagger that nobody could beat us. And even in the finals, I know we lost 4-2 to Chicago, but we had that swagger. We were down 2-0 this series. We come back and tie it 2-2. We come home and we're down 3-2, and we're going to overtime, and there's no doubt in our minds that we're gonna, take this to a game seven. And in a game seven, anything can happen. Unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. They got the overtime goal, but that's how we played. That's how we were.
Yeah.
We just had that swagger that nobody was better than us, and it didn't matter how far deep we were. We always felt we could come back. But to go back to that Boston series, you know which game to me was the turning point?
Which one?
Game five.
Really?
And nobody really talks about game five, but game five was back in their building. And a lot of the times when you play a game five and the home team is up 3-1, that's where they want to end it. Because they don't want to go get back on a plane, go back to the visitors' building for another game. They want to end it there. And to me, that was the key. If we could win game five in their building, we knew that we were not going to get beaten at home in game six. And then you're going back there in game seven, and all the pressure all of a sudden is on them to not choke. So that's why. And we ended up winning game five, I think 5-1. It was such a decisive game.
4-0. There it is.
4-0.
Okay. Shutout. Wow.
Yeah. To me, that's the game that nobody talks about, but that probably was the most important game of the series. And, building that swagger like we just talked about, and putting doubts in the Bruins' mind.
I can't get enough of that team and that whole series. And what was the coach like? What was Peter like? And that, because we all know about that timeout, what was he like through that whole run?
I think Peter also had that swagger. And one of his strengths, one of Peter Laviolette's strengths, if people don't know, is how he motivates his team. He finds ways, to motivate his team like no one else. The speeches, the way he talks, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So when you're able to build that swagger and that confidence and then the coach comes in on top of it, he was just feeding into it just as much as we were. And it was pretty cool to go through that with him.
Yeah, I would think, and you think about what you guys had overcome. I mean, and I love, like, Boosh is my main man. And he was terrific, during the run.
Yeah.
But, it was a tough spot, man, between him and Leighton. It was the end of Boosh's career. Leighton was a journeyman. And so it wasn't like you had, Tuukka in goal, right? Like, that was a big deal.
No, it was. But he had a knack for pressing the right buttons, too. Peter found a way to, get those guys going because – they both played a lot of games. It's not like Boosh didn't play at all. He was there. He was critical in some of the games during that series. He got hurt, unfortunately, against Boston. But early on in the playoffs, Boosh was big for us. So both guys played well. I still looking back. I mean, it was a great playoff run. It could have gone our way another lucky bounce at the end, but. We can't complain too much about that because we also got a lot of lucky bounce to get us there, starting with the last regular season game against the Rangers just to get us into the playoffs.
Yeah, because we were not a good shootout team back then that season. It was irony that you guys get in on that shootout.
Yeah, and against probably, in my mind, the best shootout goalie. NHL. Lundqvist was, to me, the toughest shootout goalie that I faced over the course of my career. And having to face him that game, to clinch, was pretty ironic. That's how we beat them. And I remember that game. I felt like the Rangers were just holding on. They just wanted to take this game to overtime and to a shootout because they knew they had the best goalie in the shootout, and they knew our record. So they thought they were going to be fine taking this game to a shootout. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us,
yeah. Oh, my God, that was outrageous. I'll tell you, Danny, that was so much fun, man, just to kind of talk about it. We got Peter coming up next. So he's going to come on after you to talk about it. So I'll make sure to give him your regard. You still text with him at all? You ever talk to him at all?
Yeah, we still talk here and there. You know, I when I look back at the coaches that I've had over the course of my career, Peter is probably the one that him and Lindy Ruff that did the most for me. I have a lot of respect for them. You know, Peter was simply amazing. I love him, and awesome. I hope he gets back in the league soon.
Yeah, he deserves it, man. He's a great coach, man. I'm with you. Danny, what a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much. Listen, God bless your family and you, and you know, stay safe during this time, okay, brother?
Awesome. Thanks. Same to you, and thank you for being there for all of us staying home.
Ah, I love you, buddy. You know that. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about Flyers hockey soon. So be safe, buddy.
Sounds good.
Take care, brother.
You too.
There he is, the great Danny Briere on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.